more of Black and Right on AM 560. Here are your hosts, Charles Love and John Anthony.
Welcome back to Black and Right with John and Charles. I am Charles. John is changing attire. We've been talking about religious leaders and their role in social and cultural issues. And I want to bring on my next guest here. He is Cesar LaFleur, an ordained pastor, the executive director of the Beloved Community Development Coalition, and he has the Chicago Cure Clergy Network Group. Cesar, welcome to Black and Right.
Hey, thanks for having me, man. Glad to be here.
It's awesome to have you. So I don't know if you've been listening. We can unpack a lot of stuff. The pastor I had on before, it's where I go. I like the fact that he's like, I'm all Bible, and I go where it takes me, and we don't want to get into politics. But that's what I got you and the guest after you to talk about. So,
okay.
Because I know where you two lean. So, I mean, let's talk about some specific issues. So, well, first, let me start. I still want to start with that baseline question. So tell me, I'm asking you a question I know the answer to, so I'm going to change it a bit. I know you think religious leaders have an obligation to speak out because you do, but how have you seen the reaction in the general community? So not necessarily when you're in friendly confines, but when you go out and you speak, you speak about the word, but you also talk about the issues that concern you. What type of pushback do you get, and how do you combat that?
Well, one of the things we can expect is whenever we're speaking the truth, when we have a society that's more aligned with the lie, because they have been taken captive by the lie. The enemy is a liar, the father of the lies. So there is a resistance to the truth. But we have a obligation. We have a responsibility. In fact, in the Bible, this was asked, why did he come? He said, for this reason I came. For this reason I was sent, to testify to the truth. And it's the truth that sets people free. Mm-hmm. So even though we have a society that's resistant to the truth, they're tolerant of everything else except the truth, we still have a responsibility to speak the truth in love, to not be afraid, to not be timid. The Bible says we have not been given a spirit of fear, but of love and a sound mind. We have a solid foundation from which to draw our opinions. And so we have a responsibility to speak it, even when it's not convenient.
Okay, let me not necessarily push back a bit, but like kind of like I was saying, okay, to Will. So you go out and you're preaching the truth. But as culture changes, right, the way people act and behave and the way they accept things changes too. So the question is, do you, even though the message is changing, I'm not saying that, and I know that there are religious leaders out there like this, and I challenge them for sure, but I'm not saying mm-hmm. your message should change because the Bible is the Bible, but do you find right. yourself, or do you see with the other pastors you work with, you have a network, other people that you meet, that they tend to have to get creative in how they put the message on the spoon to get people to take it now, as opposed to, 15 years ago, you could do X, but now today it becomes an issue because, people are more sensitive or people are more partisan or whatever the case may be. Does that make it more difficult?
I understand. So, mm-hmm. so here's one thing. This is not a surprise, because we've told in the Bible that a day would come when people would not endure sound doctrine. Mm-hmm. But also we have the example of the Apostle Paul, who said that, we have to be able to speak to people based on where they are. We have to have an approach that fits the environment where we're in. Mm-hmm. There's some things that people are probably more familiar with. Jesus did that. When he spoke in parables, he spoke to things and he used things that people in that era, in that area would be familiar with. Mm-hmm. When he used agricultural illustrations and parables, to be able to speak to people who understood that. When he spoke to Jews, he spoke to them based on what Jewish customs were. So, we do have to be wise, and we have to ask for the Holy Spirit to give us the insight on how to approach a subject. Mm-hmm. But you absolutely were correct when you said the truth does not change. Right. Neither does our responsibility to speak the truth change simply because society is changing their positions. The only thing that's immutable is God. God does not change. And so even though our tactics, you might have to adjust. I like what the previous guest spoke about, is that even when we look at people, we got to recognize that our battle is not with them. Mm-hmm. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness. And so basically we have to look at people and understanding a lot of times they are victims. We are here to try to liberate them to the truth. And so our issue was not with them. So we need to find a way to reach them. We need to find a way to speak the truth in love, to demonstrate the truth in love in such a way that it becomes something that they see that's applicable to themselves. And therefore we have transformational change.
Okay. So the other thing is that people obviously are resistant to the message. I mean, it's not that part obviously isn't new, but you have these pastors who, okay, let's ask this. So why is it, why do you think many pastors are silent? Let's start with that. Why do you think many of them are silent on these issues? That's the first question.
Well, I have to be careful here because one of the things I try to avoid is speaking for anyone else. Now, one of the things that I've noticed, one of the things I thought as a negative against many pastors, with, you know, identified as pastors today who have seen this obligation to keep the organization going, is that a lot of times they won't speak on subjects from their pulpit that they think that their congregation might be resistant to because they don't want to run people off. They don't want people to leave their churches because you take these solid positions on issues that I really think have a place in the pulpit. For instance, like I'm a pro-life advocate, right, and I really think that the pastors need to be speaking about the issue of abortion from their pulpits. Mm-hmm. But sometimes there's some issues that are so provocative and there's so much volatility around them in society that we tend to run away from those issues because we're afraid of what it might do to people sitting in our churches. We damper the truth down sometimes, the challenge that we need to be making to people in our churches because we're afraid of offending them and running them off. One of the things I always remind my brothers is, first of all, you can't be afraid of losing them because they don't belong to you anyway. These, you are just the overseer of God's sheep. The sheep belong to him, but we're supposed to be good overseers, good shepherds.
That is killer. That's what I think is important for people to hear. We're coming up to the break. Hold on for us, Caesar. You're listening to Black and Right on AM 560 The Answer. Back in a moment.
We now return to Black and Right on AM 560. Here are Charles Love and John Anthony.
Welcome back to Black and Right on AM 560 The Answer. We're talking about religious leaders and their role in social and cultural issues. Caesar was awesome. We're going to try to get him back. We wanted to at least finish with him and let him plug whatever it is that he's doing. Right now, we have our next guest, Reverend Alvin Bibbs. He's the pastor and the president and CEO of the Justice Journey Alliance. Pastor Bibbs, welcome to Black and Right.
Thank you, Charles. It's delighted to be a part of the program.
I know you got a small window. You're on into something else briefly. But does that mean you haven't had an opportunity to listen to anything we've been talking about so far?
Very little, for sure. Very little.
Okay, so I'll just toss it to you and let you go. I want to know what you feel, religious leaders, as a religious leader, what your role is or others in the cultural and social issues we face. Do you have an obligation to speak out against the things that you disagree with and for the things that you do agree with?
Well, first and foremost, Charles, I'm a firm believer that religious leaders and the local church provides the cultural and moral compass for our cities, our nations, and the world. And I believe there is a very important strategic role that religious leaders have in speaking the truth and guiding people accordingly in order to really live out the values that we embrace as believers and followers of Jesus Christ. And so definitely in the midst of all of that, there is no separation from my vantage point in regards to what the Word of God is really calling us to do and to be about. At the end of the day, there's no separation whatsoever. We all know that cultural intelligence really matters. Leadership matters. Okay. And we need to have more bold and courageous religious leaders that really understand their role and to be more outspoken about the things that matter to God and matter to his people.
I like that. So why do you think, or do you, maybe you don't, but I think it's the case. Why do you think so many pastors and other religious leaders don't speak out about what's going on?
Well, I think a huge part of it, Charles, to be very frank and honest with you, is fear of the potential loss of losing parishioners, those that are sitting in the pews of their churches, because many of our churches and our leaders have been compromised politically, socially, and therefore we live in this false sort of space in regards to what a church and its leaders really should be about. And there's a fear of folks actually voting with their feet and their resources and their influence and leaving a particular flock behind. And so therefore we lead out of a premise and base of clear fear versus a boldness and a directive of force from God and guiding those that are connected to the various religious communities across the nation.
So you have an organization, as introduced, the Justice Journey Alliance. Can you tell the listeners about that organization?
Yes, our primary vision as an organization is clearly to reach an ever-increasing population that is divided by race and injustice. We hear it very clearly in Scripture. In Isaiah, says, the Lord looked and was displeased that there was no justice. He saw that there was no one, absolutely no one, and he was appalled that there was no one to intervene. And so when we look at the issues of justice in our society, it just breaks the heart of God that is what is taking place in our world today. So when you look at the Justice Journey Alliance, we're trying to mobilize advocates for justice and racial equality while at the same time growing mutually in our understanding of the issues that divide us by working together for the common good of all of God's people. And we do this in a variety of different ways. We have various venues, what we call the Justice Conversations, where we're in partnership with a wonderful, wonderful foundation and establishment here in the city of Chicago called Lou Malnati's Pizza. And so we offer these two-hour formats where people come together to have an authentic conversation, Charles, about the issue of equality.
Okay, let me ask you something real quick, because I know you got to go and we have short time. So you talk about equality, and earlier you mentioned something about race relations. How does that play into the fact that if you're talking about equality, see, when I hear that, it's kind of an interesting buzzword, because what does equality mean? I mean, everybody has a different idea of what equality is. And it seems like today the social justice warriors that we see that are active in the culture are trying to even things out from where things were uneven before by giving one group more things than the other in hopes that it evens out from what it was in years past. So it's not really, so, but what they're asking for is not really equality. It's more, you know, justifiable inequality. So how does that play a part in what you're talking about?
Well, at the end of the day, it's really about equity. And so how do we balance the playing field? You know, one of the values I think is very important within our society today, we have to talk more about economic inclusion and equality. We shy away from that conversation with the quickness, because at that point, it's an opportunity for people actually to be a better steward and share what God has given them within the various platforms, be it within our churches, be it within our corporations, our higher education institutions.
Well, I hear the music coming up behind you. But thank you, Pastor Bibbs. That is the Justice Journey Alliance he's with. To look him up. We will have to talk again. You're listening to Black and Right.
This is Black and Right on AM 560 with Charles Love and John Anthony.
Welcome back to Black and Right, John and Charles. I am Charles. John is in the control room bringing up the calls.
Wrong.
I'm going to figure out what he's doing at some point. Well, man, the last two guests, I wish I had more time. One had to go and the other was coming up against the break. But I wish I had an opportunity to talk more. It's definitely with Alvin, because I really like what he was saying about the Bible and not being afraid to speak what he believes and stand on the word. But then I was kind of confused by the part that where he got into the race and the equality and the equity. And when I pushed back on equality, he shifted to equity. That started to make him sound a little bit like the social justice warriors I debate, because a lot of times they like to shift what they're talking about. Equity and equality are not the same thing. So I'm willing to have a conversation about either one. But when you move from one to the other, I don't know which one you're talking about, because he's right if he's trying to get equity. But he's not right if he's trying to get equality, right? Because you can't take from one to give to the other to make it equal, because that's not, you know, the same thing. Well, they're here or there. But, you know, give us a call at 312-642-5600 if you want to get in on this conversation. And we're only halfway there. We're going to come back on the back end and keep this going and talk to some more religious leaders and bring up some more, you know, scratch deeper and go deeper into this topic. But right now we have Daniel from Salem, Wisconsin on hold, and let's find out what Daniel wants to talk about. Daniel, welcome to Black and Right.
Yes. Hi, brother. How are you? It's Daniel DeRose.
Hey, Daniel. How are you? I know you wanted to talk to Caesar. He's gone, but I'd still want to hear what you had to say.
Well, I would like to say this, is that in Samuel 1, 17, when David slayed Goliath, it said in verse 40, and he took his staff in his hand, and he chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in his shepherd's.
Radio, the time is really important.
Well,
you got to speak a little faster.
What I would like to share is that a lot of times we walk over those smooth stones. We don't see them. The blessing is in the smooth stones that David seen, that slayed the Goliath, the giant in our life that's before us. We are victims because we walk over the blessing.
Thank you. Daniel, thank you for that. I don't know what Caesar was supposed to say to that. I mean, you know, generally it's better when you have a deliberate, you know, specific point or a question. But, I mean, I appreciate you listening, and thank you for your call. Wow, that he brought us almost to the break. But again,
are you not entertained?
Again, the topic is multi-layered and really heavy. I think it's important. There's obviously different avenues you can take, and we have all these religious leaders in many cases who are reading the same word. They are listening to the words of Jesus and finding different ways to decipher it. But while you're trying to, you know, think about that and decide where you want to go with that, the next hour we're going to talk to people who are religious leaders from different religions. We'll see what they have to say and how the culture affects what they believe. You're listening to Black and Right on AM 560, The Answer.